For service members who are deployed and are worried about their family members back at home being able to put food on the table, they're not able to fully focus on their mission. So this is absolutely an issue of mission readiness.
You're listening to The Spouse Angle, a podcast breaking down the news for military spouses and their families. I'm your host, Natalie Gross. Thanks for tuning in. Hey everyone, welcome to The Spouse Angle. It's so hard to believe that it's already November and we are going to be wrapping up season two this month, though we will still be putting out some bonus content for you all through the end of the year, so stay tuned for that. Today's episode revisits a topic we discussed earlier this year, and that is food insecurity among military families. Now, I know food insecurity is a term that a lot of people find confusing or just unsure what it means. So going by the U.S. Department of Agriculture's definition, food insecurity basically means a lack of consistent access to enough food for an active, healthy life. A recent survey of more than 11,000 active duty E1s to E6s and their family members showed that 14% had visited a food bank in the last year in order to make ends meet. And when we talked about this topic last time back in March, I talked with a military spouse who was among those going to a food pantry after she lost her job during the pandemic. And at that point, way back in episode 8 of season 2, advocates were really working to get the word out about military families experiencing food insecurity after seeing a big boost in food pantry visits, particularly during the pandemic. And what's come out of this is that lawmakers in Congress are revisiting what's called a basic needs allowance for service members with a household gross income at or below 130% of the poverty line. These are families who, if they were civilians, would qualify for a federal program called SNAP, or what you might know as food stamps, yet that program counts their BAH, their monthly housing allowance, as income, and therefore many don't qualify. This is an issue that First Lady Jill Biden mentioned at the Congressional Military Family Caucus in October, saying it's, quote, a top priority in the Biden administration. By supporting a basic needs allowance, we're going to confront food insecurity and promote well-being in our military community, she said. In just a moment, I'll be bringing on three experts for you. Two from the National Military Family Association. That'll be Crystal Lewis, Director of Research and Insights and a Navy spouse, and Eileen Huck, Government Relations Senior Deputy Director and a retired Navy spouse. Also, Josh Protus, who is the Vice President of Public Policy at Mazon, a Jewish response to hunger, will be joining us as well. They have been studying food insecurity in the military community and are going to give us an update on where things stand and how it's going to affect all military families. Hi guys, I want to take a quick break to tell you about one of our partners, Milso Muster. Milso Muster is a free app that's basically a one-stop shop for military-related content, informational resources, social networking, and more, all in one convenient app. It was founded by Navy wife Jasmine Cruz, and it's operated and curated by spouses in all walks of life. Jasmine and her team really strive to provide a safe space where you can get support for the needs of your military family, whatever that looks like. So if you're looking for a mobile community of spouses and a plethora of information to help you navigate military life, including blogs and podcasts like this one, join more than 1,000 other Milso Muster users and download the app on your Apple or Android phone today. That's Milso Muster, M-I-L-S-O, Muster. All right, I have on Crystal, Eileen from NMFA, and Josh from Mazon. Thank you all so much for coming on. Josh, as we get started here, I think a lot more people who are listening to this podcast are probably familiar with the National Military Family Association, where Crystal and Eileen are from, of course, than they are with Mazon. So can you tell us about what you do and how a Jewish organization got involved in this work for military families specifically?
Sure. Thank you so much, and glad to have a chance to talk about this important issue. The organization that I work for, Mazon, a Jewish Response to Hunger, leads the American Jewish community in engaging in anti-hunger policy issues. We approach those issues with the understanding that we'll never food bank our way to an end of hunger, that we have to have strong and effective safety net programs to make sure that all among us have enough healthy food to be able to eat. And we recognize that the emergency food system does important work in emergency needs, but that less than 10% of all food assistance in this country comes through the charitable sector, and that more than 90% comes through governmental programs. Mazon started hearing about an uptick in the number of military families that were coming for emergency assistance about a decade ago. And so we started to look into why that was the case. And we've really tried to carve out a space for ourselves as a national anti-hunger organization by addressing the populations that have long been overlooked and whose needs have been unrecognized. And military families, and separately but relatedly, veteran households fall into that category. And what we discovered was that there's actually a barrier that makes it more difficult for currently serving military families, primarily junior enlisted households that have multiple dependents, from qualifying for programs like SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, where they really need that help. And this quirk has to do with the way that their basic allowance for housing gets treated. And it's something that we've been working on over the years and unfortunately has been a very stubborn issue to get resolved.
And we're definitely going to be talking more about that today. So thank you for explaining that. Crystal, why don't you kind of set the scene for us on why we're talking about this topic of food insecurity among military families? Your organization surveyed troops and families. So what did you find and why does this matter right here, right now?
So Natalie, thank you first of all for having us on to talk about this very important issue. For NMFA, we always support the families standing beside those in uniform, actively serving our country, and knowing that some of those military members who are actively serving don't have enough food on the table or enough to feed their families is devastating. Of course, it's incredibly important. So we created and disseminated a survey asking almost 11,500 actively serving military families about their food insecurity. We used the USDA short form so that we could have benchmark data to DOD, to other organizations in the space. And what we found was pretty devastating. 14% of respondents said, yes, they were experiencing food insecurity. And yes, they had just visited a charitable food distribution center in the last 12 months. And to Josh's point, the ranks that we focused on and surveyed were E1 through E6, which are junior enlisted members. Oftentimes, they are the most dangerous zones serving. They're often the most deployable. They deploy the most. There are a lot of single parents. 33% of participants were single parents. 13% were dual military families, where the service member, both parents are service members. And what was really devastating that to me that we found was that 12% of those saying, yes, we're experiencing food insecurity, 12% of them had a service member currently deployed. So imagine that for just 1 minute. You're deployed, possibly in a combat zone, and your family back home in the United States doesn't have enough food. I mean, it's just devastating.
There are lots of reasons why military families experience food insecurity. We know that military spouse unemployment levels are much higher than the general population, and that problem's only been exacerbated during the pandemic. Military families, just like other American families, can face unexpected expenses, particularly around PCS moves. We know that those can place a financial burden on military families. So I think it's important to emphasize that there are lots of different reasons why military families might find themselves struggling financially in a way that could ultimately lead to problems putting healthy food on the table.
Thank you, Eileen.
I think it's also important to recognize why this is such an important issue to address. It's not just for taking care of the military families that are needlessly struggling. That, of course, is vital that we do this. But it's also important to consider the larger societal issues at play. As Crystal mentioned, for service members who are deployed and are worried about their family members back at home being able to put food on the table, they're not able to fully focus on their mission. So this is absolutely an issue of mission readiness. But it's also an issue of retention, because for service members who are struggling to make ends meet, they may look outside of the military for a viable career path to better support their families. And it's also an issue of future recruitment, because we know that children who grow up in military households are much more likely to go into military service themselves. But if they grow up in a household that's food insecure, they're at greater risk of diet-related health conditions like diabetes, heart disease, obesity that can make them unfit to serve later in life. And in addition, unfortunately, we've seen increasing rates of suicide among service members and military spouses. And we know absolutely that food insecurity is linked to suicide. It's a contributing factor. And food insecurity is also an issue of racial equity, where disproportionately we have service members of color overrepresented in the junior enlisted ranks and underrepresented in officer and leadership ranks. So there's lots of reasons why addressing this are in our national best interest, let alone doing the right moral thing, doing right by our military families.
I just wanted to talk about Josh's points of mission readiness and retention and service in the future. Our research finds the same things, that food insecurity is a mission readiness issue. And we found that 40% of our survey respondents thought about not re-signing or rejoining the military or serving in the future because food insecurity, and also spouse unemployment.
I'm glad you mentioned the military teens and the military kids, because Crystal, that's how you and I connected, because I know you guys worked on research with Bloom, Empowering the Military Teen, that we discussed in our October episode. And yeah, their survey data showed that a lot of military teens did experience food insecurity over the last year. So thought that was really interesting. Thank you for mentioning that, Josh. I talked a little bit in the intro to this episode about how this issue has evolved just in the last year. At the beginning of the year, when we did an episode on this, you guys and other advocacy organizations were working hard to get this data in front of lawmakers to try to see some changes. Now you have lawmakers in both the House of Representatives and the Senate pushing for a basic needs allowance for military families, and the Biden administration supports it. I know this is an issue you've been fighting for a while, even before the pandemic. So I would love for you to share sort of a behind the scenes look at what's changed over the last several months and where things stand now. Eileen, do you want to take this one?
Sure, I'd be happy to. And I would say, first of all, it's been really gratifying over the past few months to see leadership both within Congress, the administration, and the Department of Defense finally and perhaps belatedly start to take this issue seriously. And it's due in large part to the efforts of advocacy organizations who have worked tirelessly for many years to highlight this issue of military family food insecurity and come up with workable solutions. The basic needs allowance that you alluded to is a really simple but we think effective way to address food insecurity among the most vulnerable military families. What it is it's a small pay boost for military families whose income and household size place them below 130% of federal poverty guidelines. It's something that
would that be, Eileen?
What would that? It really depends on family size. So it's hard to come up with a single number. Josh, you may know, for a family of four or six, for example, do you happen to know off the top of your head what the income level would be?
So the military family basic needs allowance would help, for example, an E4 household with 4 years of service and a household of four, so three dependents, where their annual salary would be about $31,600. So roughly their base pay would be about $2,600 a month. And 130% of the federal poverty guidelines for that household of four would be just over $34,000 a year. So this would be helping, you know, to supplement that base pay. And as Eileen mentioned, the households who are really impacted by food insecurity have multiple dependents and often struggle with high rates of unemployment for spouses. So it's that single source of income, that low base pay, that is helping them to make ends meet, but it really just doesn't go far enough.
Eileen, back to you. Where do things stand now on this basic housing allowance?
Well, the great news is that both the House and the Senate, current Senate versions of the National Defense Authorization Act, include provisions that would implement a basic needs allowance, this temporary boost for pay for low-income families. The bad news is that these provisions are not identical. And the Senate version, unfortunately, includes BAH in determining eligibility for the basic needs allowance. So we're very, very hopeful that when the two sides come together in conference to work out what the final version of the bill will look like, that the House version that does not include BAH will be the one that makes it into the final version of the NDAA. It does look like one way or another we'll have a basic needs allowance, but if that's going to happen, we want it to be as effective as possible and serve the military families who really need the help.
Can you get a little nerdy technical here? Can you kind of explain the difference of including BAH in that income evaluation or not?
Absolutely. And Josh alluded to it earlier when he was talking about military families not being eligible for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. If BAH is included in determining eligibility for these programs, most military families won't be eligible because their incomes will be too high to qualify. But we know that military families aren't using BAH to pay for their living expenses or food. They're using it to pay for housing. And in a lot of locations these days, BAH isn't even paying the full cost of housing. In fact, BAH is only supposed to cover 95% of housing, and in many areas it's falling short, especially as we see the cost of housing increase across the nation. So including BAH in determining eligibility for the basic needs allowance will put it out of reach for a lot of the most needy military families, and is really inappropriate when you consider what the purpose of BAH is supposed to be.
Just to add to that, we want to make sure that we're doing right by our military families. And by taking the BAH out of the equation for calculating eligibility, both for a basic needs allowance as well as for programs like SNAP, it would be treating those low-income military families on par with our civilian households and with actually some other military families. So for civilian households that receive any type of federal housing assistance, say a Section 8 housing voucher or other kinds of federal housing aid, the value of that housing aid is not treated as income for purposes of determining eligibility for SNAP. And likewise, for military families that are housed on base, the value of their housing is treated as an in-kind benefit and is not counted as income for determining eligibility for SNAP and other programs. So all we're trying to do is make sure that we're treating all military families the same as others and enabling them to get the help that they need and should be entitled to.
What is the argument for including BAH as income?
Well, we don't feel there is a good argument for including BAH. And I just wanted to clarify what Josh said, because although families who live on base in privatized military housing, they do receive the BAH and it is counted as income. So it's only the minority of families who live in military-owned housing and don't receive BAH at all who are able to more easily qualify for SNAP benefits. But, you know, as we said earlier, you know, BAH is an important part of military compensation, but it is intended to cover the cost of housing. And we don't feel it's appropriate or fair to include it in determining eligibility for programs that help military families afford basic needs like food assistance.
And just to add to that, the basic allowance for housing wasn't explicitly categorized as income. It's just that Congress hasn't taken explicit action to exclude it as counted income for determining eligibility for programs. And so that action has not happened yet, but it was never set up in a way to purposely treat it as income.
Sure. Well, what do you see as the biggest barrier to getting this passed? This idea has been rejected in Congress before. We've kind of discussed that. So what do you feel is different about this time in the pandemic that we're in, maybe, or in the context that we are here in 2021?
I think there's just been a broader understanding and acknowledgement among leaders, both within the Department of Defense and on Capitol Hill, that military family food insecurity is a real issue. It affects a significant number of families, and it's their responsibility to take concrete action to address the problem. And I would hope also that some of the stigma around food insecurity is diminishing. There are many reasons why a military family, as I said earlier, might find themselves in financial hardship, and it's almost always through absolutely no fault of their own. And it's certainly not the fault of their kids, who are also suffer when a military family finds itself in a position when they can, where they can't put food on the table. So, you know, I think that thanks to advocacy efforts on our part and the part of a lot of partner organizations, that awareness is just out there that this is a real issue, and it's incumbent on our leaders to do something about it.
I also think that the research has made this very clear to our decision makers and our leaders that this is an issue. At the very least, DOD does not want the mission readiness of our military to be impacted.
Great point, Crystal. Well, lastly, I'm sure we have a lot of people listening to this podcast who are out of those junior ranks, or they don't struggle with food insecurity themselves. And maybe, you know, as this topic has been getting more attention, this is the first time they're really learning that this is an issue among military families. So tell me, how is this going to affect the average military family? What are some of the broader implications here? Why should people care about this? Josh, do you want to start?
Sure. Even for those who aren't personally impacted, I think they should care about this because their colleagues, their neighbors, the people they work with are impacted by this issue. And that, as we've said, impacts mission readiness. When our service members aren't fully present for the job that they're there to do, that has an impact on everyone. And as we've also mentioned, it's an issue about retention. It's an issue about future recruitment. So all of these things factor into a larger systemic issue that should be of concern. In addition, it's a costly issue to ignore, because when we deal with food insecurity proactively and we can head off the diet-related health conditions that stem from it, we can prevent exceptionally high medical costs into the future. So it benefits all of us. When we can prevent food insecurity, everybody is better off. And this is a problem that doesn't have to exist. It's a preventable problem. It's a solvable problem. And I think, you know, morally, to see people struggling needlessly is a really tough thing. So I think everyone would like to just see this addressed and to have this a problem that we no longer need to worry about.
And if I could just jump in, you know, in the military community, we're a family. We take care of each other. We take care of our own. We make it a point of pride to have each other's backs. And so, you know, if one member of the military family community is struggling, it affects all of us. And so I think, you know, this military family basic needs allowance is an important step to helping the neediest, most vulnerable military families, and helping them makes all of us stronger as a community.
Crystal, any last thoughts?
I would also like to add on to why this is important for all people in our country and not just those in the community. Obviously, it's very important to me. You know, not only am I a doctor who is performing research to help bring these issues to light, but I'm also a military spouse. I'm a military mom. I have two kids who are military kids. They move every 2 years. They have to make new friends. They have to join new schools. And I can't imagine that all of those challenges being compounded with not knowing where your next meal is going to come from. And so I think as a country, we need to ask ourselves, do we really support our military? And I think the answer is yes. And I think supporting this issue and caring about this issue would show that support. So we're not just celebrating the military on certain holidays, and we're not just thanking people for their service or giving them free donuts or waffles. We are really focused on solving the issues that are impacting our family, our military families.
Just one additional thought. Food insecurity is a matter of basic human dignity. Mazone approaches this issue to make sure that people of all faiths and backgrounds have the ability to put healthy food on the table to help themselves and their families thrive and reach their full potential. it's shameful that we have military families that are struggling, and there's so much shame and stigma associated with it for the individuals who are impacted, and it shouldn't be that way. There shouldn't be the judgment of people who are in difficult circumstances, and certainly they shouldn't be blamed for being in that circumstance. We should show the compassion that we as Americans have to help those who are vulnerable and who are struggling and make sure that they can reach their full potential in life. And I think it is at its core a matter of dignity to make sure that we're doing right by those who are making such great sacrifices for our country.
Well, great. Thank you all so much for providing your insight and your time to come on the Spouse Angle and talk about this topic. We will certainly be following it. So thanks, everyone. That's it for today's episode. Thanks so much for tuning in. As always, you can find all episodes of the podcast on Apple, Spotify, TuneIn, etc., as well as our website, thespouseangle.com. We are also on Reads Across America Radio on Saturdays at 10 a.m. Eastern. Thanks, everyone. Talk to you next week.